This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.
Welcome to Canned Laughter and Coffee with Renee Bernard. I am so excited. I have the most talented and well-armed author in the young adult universe, Melissa Mars, on the program tonight. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I had to slip in the well-armed thing because the family owning the gun shop was just too fabulous. That was just too fantastically
funny. Now, that's my husband.
Your husband.
Family.
Yeah, mine just blows stuff up.
You have to claim him. I think by law, you have to claim. You know, you have to claim those people. I don't know. Is there a caveat? Can you not claim them? I think you're stuck. I hate it.
Right.
Yeah.
But we're well prepared for the zombie apocalypse.
Yes, we are well prepared. Good to know. We're working on it at our end. But, yeah, if anybody needs shelter, melissa-mar.com. Just drop by, give her a line, and she can give you tips on all sorts of – what a wonderful family you have and what a great situation. And also with us tonight is Sheila English with, of course, Circle of Seven Productions, who is, one of your biggest fans or biggest fans or stalker. I'm going to go with one of those three.
Any of those could be good.
You're a good stalker. You're a good stalker to have.
Polite. She's a polite stalker. But she's, she's wild about you. I'm not going to lie. The emails she's been sending me, she's like, I can't wait to talk to her. Okay, I'm going to ask her some questions. It's all good. And I'm like, okay. So I sent her an email going, I'll just sit in the cheap seats and tell her, wow, yeah, I'm just thrilled to be next to anybody who's living the dream. So I'll just, step out of Sheila's way.
We've been working on videos together for the series for, what, 3 books now, Sheila?
Yeah. Wicked Lovely, you had somebody out of the UK that did that, which is, it's beautiful, by the way. I love the
video.
That
was my publisher, and it's a beautiful video.
Yes, and we had... Ink Exchange. We started with Fragile Eternity, I think.
Yeah, that was the live action one, and then we did Radiant Shadows, and then you guys just did the wonderful end of series one for Darkest Mercy. Lots of fun working on those.
I really love that. I love Darkest Mercy, and I'll go through I want to talk a little bit about the series for anybody who hasn't discovered the Wicked Lovely series, and Renee, who hasn't read the Wicked Lovely series?
I mean, what kind of idiot has not read the Wicked Lovely series? Where do you have to be to not read the Wicked Lovely series? Perhaps we're
definitely out of Sheila's reach because Sheila is.
Yes, perhaps you have 2 young children under the age of 5. Maybe that could come into play.
It's the only excuse I'll accept. Just so you know.
Thank God. Okay.
You know what, though? I was telling Renee before we started, I know it's YA, but it really transcends age. I mean, I'm far from YA. Okay, I'll just put it out there. I'm 44. And I love it. It's like, I start reading it. I cannot put it down. My husband, I got Darkest Mercy, and I went into the bedroom to sit, I was going to just go to bed a little early and read some, and my husband just rolls his eyes at me. It's like he knows, I'll see you in a couple days. I'm showing you.
Well,
but
and
really,
that's been kind of nice over in Germany. They actually release the books as adult mass market paperbacks in addition to as hardcover YA books because they found exactly what you're saying. There were so many adults reading them when they saw them when they were just on the general tables that they realized that there was this entire adult readership. And in order to put those books in the adult readers' hands, they repackaged them as adult books also, didn't change a single word on the inside, but then relabeled them as adult books and shelved them in the adult section, and it just took off there too. So you are not alone in the adult reader category there.
Well, I wasn't embarrassed. I was going to go to the YA section. And I was in it, but
I don't mind going
that's
the
great
YA
if I can
section.
Be shielded from that and get it in the adult. That's fine. talk.
Well, I just, you know, because you look at the covers, and the covers are just stunningly beautiful. I love the covers, and they do look like YA covers, and it's like, you know, you want to make sure people understand, you know, this, yeah, I think YA, the YA group will, I know they love them. I know, Melissa, your fans are like some of the most die-hard, loyal fans on the planet Earth.
They're wonderful.
They really are wonderful. And, but I know, you know, like I said, with even though it looks like, you know, even though the package is YA, you know, as your German publisher, you know, has already taken advantage of that, it really is something that adults would enjoy.
But that's a testament to the craft. Melissa, I mean, that's a testament to what you bring to the table, like you said, with your background with literature and with what you're bringing. I think that a good story is a good story. I don't think it has limitations.
And I think if you look at the YA market today, there are a lot of authors who, I mean, I'm 38 and I shop in the YA section too. I feel like we're in some sort of like 12-step program here.
I am Melissa.
I shop in the YA.
I also buy YA books.
but yeah, there's so many fabulous young adult novels out there. And I mean, you know, admittedly though, I still read picture books too. So, I mean, I read picture books and I also read Stephen King. I don't think that the idea that we have to shop in some sort of category because we're a certain gender or a certain age makes much sense to me. I think that when I'm in a hurry, it's nice to know which section of the store to go to if I know I'm in the mood for a certain kind of book. But I think the idea of limiting myself as a reader to any section of the bookstore is problematic. And so when I write, I think the tendency to read across the board, and like you said, my background, I taught university for 12 years. I taught literature and gender studies. And so that kind of background also influences, all that swirls together and influences the kind of thing that I write. I think that's sort of inevitable. But I'm in such good company. There are so many fabulous YA books out there and adult books out there. So, I mean, it's just a great time to be it's a great time to be an author, and it's a great time to be a reader.
Well, you know, another thing that I wanted to – that I talked a little bit before the show about this is that I know that a lot of people who are following the series are dying to find out what happens with the romances that are in the book, and I think that's actually reflective of how much people are endeared in the characters overall. But this isn't what I would call classical romance. I mean, this is, to me, as a reader, I read this, and it's more like this is a fantasy. It's about the fairy court. Do you find that people are looking at this more for the fantasy or more for the romance?
You know, much kind of like deciding whether or not it's adult or YA. Wicked Lovely won a Rita from Romance Writers of America for the first book in the series. Wicked Lovely did, and so obviously someone thinks that the romance is working out. On the other hand, that same year it was on the recommended list for Locus, which is sci-fi and fantasy. It's been on state reading lists. So it's really hard for me to decide what category I would call it. I mean, obviously, I guess I look at it in terms of life. You know, in the midst of conflict, in the midst of battle, there's still romance, there's still family drama going on, there's still politics. And I don't think that, you know, picking just, I'm going to write a book and focus on this aspect makes much sense to me when I'm writing, because life isn't about that one thing. You know, while I've got a book release coming out, you know, what, next week in a few days. But at the same time, I've got, you know, calls from my mother on, you know, things having to do with family and, you know, my nieces in preschool. And I was at my kids' school today. I did a guest workshop where I taught creative writing today. So all of those things happen simultaneously. So when I'm writing a book, I think it makes sense, again, to have both the fantasy and the romance. And, you know, my adult book has mystery and murder and horror and also romance. I mean, it's not ever just one box.
No, you have to layer it to make the worlds, I think, give them depth. I think that's what makes it work. So Sheila is actually secretly dying to ask you about the the film rumor. And we know you're restricted on what you can say.
I am.
But you confirm that there is a film?
Obviously, it's not filmed yet. But Universal Studios had optioned the books, I guess that was last year. The script is done. They have been really awesome in that I have been in very close communication with them. Actually, my last phone call with my producers was yesterday. So I have worked on pretty much every draft of the script with them. I give them revision notes. They call me and ask me random questions or send me email. And
wow.
I've actually been out to Hollywood and sat down with them, all of them, including the wonderful Vince Vaughn, who was the producer who acquired the series. And I've sat down with him. I've, you know, chatted with my my director, Kim, did Stop Loss and Boys Don't Cry.
Mm-hmm.
And Caroline, my screenwriter, who did Nightmare Before Christmas and Corpse Bride. So I've sat down individually and as groups with all of these people, and they've really made me part of the team, which has been kind of exciting. So much so that there was actually a moment where one of the scenes that Caroline Thompson, the screenwriter, wrote in the screenplay and changed was actually an echo of a scene that I wrote in the final book in Darkest Mercy. And I you know, obviously she hadn't read it yet, and I laughed when I read it, and I said, you know, those changes are ones that I really like. In fact, so much so that I wrote them in this book. And it was a really awesome moment where we realized that we were so in sync. So, I mean, they've read now, obviously now that I've done writing the book, they've read the whole series, they've read the short stories, they've read deleted scenes. I mean, it has been so amazing. And, you know, the big question everyone asks is about cast. That's not something I can, you know, we can go and talk about yet. But obviously it's something I've talked about in detail with them. And we have total eye to eye on that too. So
it's so exciting. Oh my God. Are your students are like ex-professor people at the university? Are they like trying to be your best friends? Or are they sending, they're like, really sorry about cutting your class. Hey, can I get
you know, it's so funny to me because I keep thinking I'm going to hear from some of my former students.
Yes.
I hear from former classmates from when I was in graduate school or college, or actually one guy from elementary school, which was really bizarre to me. So I hear from people periodically going, wow, I was walking through the bookstore and I saw your book. I heard from a couple ex-boyfriends, which was a little weird. But so far I've only heard from like two of my former students, which is kind of, you know, like, yeah. But when
scary?
I was actually still teaching,
were
it was like, well, yeah, I was
scared. You think you scared them? You think you kind of, or they're looking at that going, no way, that couldn't be my professor. Because
you know,
huge,
I believe
like,
they're all so busy in their career, they just don't have time to bother with me. The ones that, you know, I did keep in touch with a lot of my students afterwards because I have to say I have some really amazing students and I loved teaching and still miss it.
Oh,
so
you're going to have like the best class reunion ever.
You know, I need to ask at least one. I see that our switch, we have so many people listening right now.
Oh,
and
hi,
I
everybody.
I want to make sure that we talk a little bit about Darkest Mercy because we only have a couple of minutes left, and I think they're probably dying to hear something.
Sorry.
Tell us a little bit about Darkest Mercy.
Wow. A non-spoilery about Darkest Mercy. Darkest Mercy has the points of view of pretty much every main character from the first couple books. Instead of just having a couple main characters, I think I've got like 8 or 10. I've got characters you haven't heard from before because there are so many threads between the four books prior to this that have to be pulled together. Darkest Mercy is a book about weaving together what's going on in the lives of the characters that we've met in the first four books. This is actually a series. It's just not a series about one girl. You know, I think about the Buffy thing where, you know, she died a lot. You can only have so many major events happen in one person's life before you really have to suspend disbelief. So I chose to write about a lot of people's lives in the series. And so this last book pulls together all of their lives. You know, there's some parts I cried when I wrote, and there's some parts that made me really happy.
And there's some shocking parts. I've been able to read it, obviously. I will say, I was crying. There are parts I'm sitting there just crying. It's like, oh, I hope nobody walks in and sees this. And there were a couple of shocking parts there. I mean, it's a very satisfying book, but I really was shocked. And
there was
we have like 20 seconds left. Where can people find you online?
Okay. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook, the Wicked Lovely official fan page. I answer reader questions there. You can find me on wickedlovely.com, which is a fan site that I don't run, but I visit. And if you want to ask me more questions and hear me talk for like an hour next week, go to Mysterious Galaxy, which go to their website. I will be there for the one and only Wicked Lovely Darkest Mercy event, which is next week in San Diego on the 23rd, and they will be doing live streaming video. So if you look on any of those places I just list, I'll keep giving the information and links to it, or you can look on my website, and it's all there. And I will be a live stream video that's globally accessible and taking questions from readers and viewers and whatnot. And thank you all for the support for the series so far. It has been awesome, and it's because you guys have been so fabulous. So thank you.
Oh, well, thank you for coming on our little show. And I'm just, we're just so thrilled to have you. And Sheila is actually about to hyperventilate, so
she's so excited. Sheila,
so
I will see you at RT.
For your success.
Yes,
and
I will see you at RT.
Yes, I will see you at RT. Hey, I will see you at RT. me too,
yes.
Me too. And,
in April in Los Angeles, if any of you out there are listening, we will be having teen events for days on end. I will be signing books, and like 30 awesome authors in the YA field will also be there, and some far, far cooler than me. And you can come and hang out
not
with
true.
Us.
Not
all
true.
All right.
Nobody cooler. There's nobody cooler. It's all good. Oh, see? I knew it. I knew time was just going to fly right by. Oh,
thank you, ladies.
Thank you so much. We wish you every success. You deserve everything that's coming your way, and we're just thrilled for you. Okay, everybody, you know what to do. Go buy books.
Thank you. You guys have a good night.
Good night, everybody, and we'll see you next Tuesday for more canned laughter and coffee with Renee Bernard. Good night, everybody.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions. www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.